You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Tuesday morning. It's October 1st, and it's 5 weeks till Election Day, 35 days. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or across our social media video feeds. Thank you for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Are you ready for some playoff baseball? Because the Brewers get started with the postseason a little later this afternoon. One of many topics that we have to get to today on a very busy Tuesday morning. We will, of course, on Tuesdays be talking to Sherita Booker, Up North News social media manager, talking about some of the popular posts of the past week. Up North News community editor, Christina Laurie, who puts together our newsletter. We have our weekly visit with her. We have our biweekly visit with Hans Breitenmoser around 7:30. He's a dairy farmer from up near Merrill. And we talk a lot about the rural economy, political matters that affect large parts of greater Wisconsin. And during that segment, we'll play back some of my conversation with Neera Tanden. She is President Biden's, one of his chief domestic policy advisors. And we talk about the investments that the Biden-Harris administration has made in rural Wisconsin and her reaction to things like the kinds of tariffs that could really have a negative impact on the economy. So we've got a couple of things from her to talk about as well. We will note the passing of baseball legend Pete Rose and the 100th birthday today of Jimmy Carter. That's right, Jimmy Carter turns 100 today. The vice presidential debate is tonight, so we will be previewing that as well. A drop box that was taken away by Wausau's mayor unilaterally has been restored to its rightful place outside of City Hall in Wausau. And we will talk about the way that President Trump is just flat out lying about the hurricane devastation and the response to it in the southeastern part of the country. So much to get to today that Greg Bach and I, we just don't know if we'll even have time to really chat today. Greg's in Waukesha right now. Craig, how are you?
I'm great.
Okay, well, that's all the time we got for that. A lot to cover today.
Good talking, folks. So, bye.
Yep, good talk. No. You can join our conversation here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or comment section in the Facebook and YouTube pages where you can find us as well. It is 47 degrees up here in Chippewa Falls. What's it like down there in tropical Waukesha?
Right now, as it stands, it's 61 degrees.
61?
61 degrees and cloudy. It's, I love this. 61. Feels like 59, though.
Again, still tropical.
Also dark.
Yes, happy to report. Yes, we can confirm once again the darkness out there. We were watching, what the heck were we watching on TV? We were catching up on John Oliver from last week tonight. We watched it on Monday nights because we're old people now. We can't stay up that late on a Sunday night. Anyway, we got the windows open, you know, they got front doors open. You know, it's now dark, but it was still very pleasant out still, you know, how it's been these past couple of weeks. And not 5 minutes earlier, I had said to Sherry, gee, I wonder, was tonight the last night we get to sleep with the windows open, and or do we get it, you know, get to do that again tonight? And just like moments later, the front arrives. And it didn't, it's not like the temperature plunged, but the wind really started to pick up out of the northwest. And you could feel that the temperature was going to be dropping. We're like, okay, it was last night. Last night, well, you know, so we shut everything up. And of course, temperatures are now dropping into the 40s. And so it seemed appropriate. It was the last day of September, you know, the last evening of September. So here we are. Welcome to October. And
it's,
you know,
crisp.
There you go. Thank you. There's the word we're looking for. It was crisp. And before too much longer, it will be cold. And before much longer, it will be snowy. So I'm going to not complain about this at all. Like I said, it's been a good run. We've been happy with late summer. Late summer's been very good here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I did see someplace that there's a little concern about the wind today and the wind especially tomorrow when it warms up a little bit, that some fire dangers could return to parts of Wisconsin. So I figure I'm going to get ahead of the punch here and not wait for the conditions to remind people just to be very careful out there. Some people might still, you know, burn leaves after they rake them or, you know, do other things that could possibly spark a fire. So please don't do that. Be mindful that we might be in a messy place that way in terms of fire danger across Wisconsin. So we have got a lot happening here. We've got that vice presidential debate tonight. I'll be joining Terry Bell at about 7:45 tonight to help preview that. And then, of course, we'll have sound bites on that tomorrow. I don't know, Greg, how do we possibly predict what to forecast for the vice presidential debate tonight? I mean, will J.D. Vance lob personal insults? Will Tim Walz use his phone to order ahead to Culver's to pick up a little something after the debate is over? It's hard to know what we're going to get.
I think Tim Walz needs... I'm serious. I'm a little worried about him. I think Tim Walz needs to manage his folksy temper.
Mm-hmm.
Because J.D. Vance will say horrible things about Haitians, horrible things about Tim Walz, horrible things about Kamala Harris, untruths about various things, and Tim has got to keep his wits about him. And I don't want to say laugh it off, but respond professionally, in kind, and with the charm that we love, but he can't lose his temper.
Yeah, I think you're right on all of those counts. And I think that he is up to that challenge.
Yeah.
Again, we've only known him as this folksy guy on the national scene for the past, you know, 2 months or so. But again, he served 5 or 6 terms in Congress. He is in his second term as Minnesota governor. So he's been around the block on this. And so I anticipate that he'll be able to give J.D. Vance whatever proper response he deserves.
Yes.
For the nutball things that he's going to say. And they're not the truth-o-meter is going to get a workout tonight. Now, CBS says they're not going to fact-check in real time.
Of course not.
Dumb. Because, again, why would we ask moderators to, you know, moderate? Which includes moderating the words that come out of that debate so that outright lies don't gain traction. That's what moderators do. We can only wait and see because CNN did a terrible job of it. The Republicans are saying ABC was too aggressive in their fact-checking. I still personally don't think they were aggressive enough.
No.
And J.D. Vance is going to say things. He continued to lie over the weekend about who was responsible for a cap on insulin prices when the evidence is clear that it was Joe Biden, that Donald Trump had nothing to do with it. Donald Trump did, the administration did some preliminary work to, you know, maybe set it up. But it was actually the Biden administration that made it happen. And that's the kind of thing where, again, that could knock somebody like Tim Walz off his game, having to correct him, or the moderators could do that.
Yeah.
One way or the other. And it doesn't help at all that J.D. Vance may repeat Donald Trump's lies from yesterday about the hurricane damage across North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, where Donald Trump multiple times yesterday while going to Georgia, which he shouldn't have done, it's still an active disaster scene, you know, and it took up local resources, but he had to go there for the photo op, and said that Georgia's Governor Brian Kemp couldn't get Biden on the phone, that Biden wasn't coming to the phone, that, you know, the White House is being slow. It was not true. And Governor Kemp said so. He said, no, President Biden actually called on me right away. And at one point later in the day, when a reporter called out Donald Trump saying, Governor Kemp says he's already talked to President Biden, Trump's response was, no, he didn't. I mean, he's so trying to invent his own reality that, no, I'm the authority figure here. And if I say on this marker with Sharpie on this hurricane path, that's where it went because I said so.
I think you got it right the first time there when you said we were trying to say authoritarian.
Authority figure.
Yeah. that's the problem we were talking about yesterday on Matt and Aaron Air, is that there's just no consequences, and all their blustering about the ABC debate, they let him talk longer. They let him bully his way into the conversation and they had to turn his mics on. He was treated with such kid gloves at the ABC debate that those quote unquote fact checking they did, that's stuff that people just know.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like deep journalistic diving into the truth. It was like, yeah, no state allows abortions up to and after birth.
Yeah. I mean, if saying the sun rises in the east, you know, qualifies as fact checking.
Yeah.
Then we've got a lot of work to do. And so, yeah, with Donald Trump just flat out lying now in the midst of a disaster that was still ongoing. I wouldn't even say we're in disaster recovery mode yet.
No.
You know, they're still looking for like 100 people that are missing. And for Donald Trump to just flat out tell lies during this just shows you that there is no bottom for this guy. Let's look ahead to sports here. The Brewers in the wild card round of the playoffs. The New York Mets are coming back to town. The Mets had to go down to Atlanta for a doubleheader yesterday. It was an exciting doubleheader, especially game one, because that was really going to set the tone for which team was going to clinch a spot first, and it was a very back-and-forth game. In the end, they split that doubleheader, which means the Mets come right back to Milwaukee for a best-of-three playoff series this afternoon, tomorrow evening, and if a third game is needed, then on Thursday. All the games will be at American Family Field. Pre-game starts at 3:55 on Civic Media stations WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM Park Falls, WISS Oshkosh. I think I'm feeling good about this.
I see a victory today. The Mets, they've played the past few days, doubleheader yesterday, no rest. At least the Brewers got a day. So I think today is going to be a good day, and I feel good about the wild card.
Yeah, I do too. Like I said, everybody's been working hard to get to the end of the season here, but the Brewers certainly have momentum on their side. And Pete Rose, baseball's career hits leader and fallen idol who bet on the game and got a lifetime ban as a result, has died. He was 83 years old. He is far and away one of the greatest players to ever play the game. Completely a flawed person, but one of the greatest players to ever play the game and had that lifetime ban. His lifetime is over. It is time to put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame and recognize the things that he did as a player. Back with more after this. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined on Up North News Radio by Sharia Booker, our social media manager. Look for everything she puts up news-wise, feature-wise, sports, food, and more. Just head over to Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those good things, and see the work she puts up from the whole team. Hey, Sharita, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Pat?
I'm good, thanks. Let's start with an event that actually has already taken place, but since we're going over some of our more popular social media posts, the Warren's Cranberry Fest is an extremely popular event. It just took place this past weekend, but even in the lead up to it, it's not just the fest that's busy, it's the social media traffic anticipating it, because, Sharita, this is a big, big deal.
It's a big deal. So Warren has a population of 353, but the festival was expected to have over 150,000 visitors. And they had over 100 cranberry foods like cranberry cream puffs, deep fried cranberry on a stick, chocolate cranberry cookie dough on a stick, and more. But the best part about the festival is that it's the largest fundraiser for Warren's Public Schools, Volunteer Fire Department, and the Lions Club, which provides scholarships for students. And that post had a lot of traffic. It had 3,000 likes. And some comments were like from Brian, who said, Such a good time. I haven't been there in years. I used to camp in Tomah and get up early to get there for pancakes at like 6 a.m. That's super early. And Maria said, what a great way to raise money for your town, school, etc. More communities should do this.
Well, they try, but my goodness, to take a town with 353 people and attract 150,000 is amazing. And I've been there. It is so packed. And what we're actually doing right now is we're answering a question that a lot of people had. They were driving on I-94 this weekend, and around Warren's, they saw the traffic lined up most likely to take the off ramps from both ways. You're going, is there like an emergency or something that people are getting off the road? No, that's the traffic to get into this little town to Cranberry Fest. So yeah, it just happened, but put it on your radar for next year. You won't be disappointed. It is really something to see. That again, the Warren's Cranberry Festival. Let's see, what do we got next here? A little bit more travel. Another place. If you can't make it to Warren's for Cranberry Fest, how about a little bit of Switzerland right here in Wisconsin? Tell us about that popular post.
If you ever wonder why the town of New Glarus looks so European, we have the answers for you on that. In the 1800s. Two men from Switzerland were sent to find an ideal place in America for a group of Swiss settlers to call home. And when they went to New Glarus, it reminded them of their homeland because of its valleys and hilltops. The village is named after the Swiss state of Glarus, where the group is originally from. Today, there's plenty for visitors to do, like stopping by the Swiss Historical Museum, the New Glarus Bakery, or the Chalet Landhaus for authentic fondue and schnitzel. That post had almost 2,000 likes. And Jennifer said, the bakery by far the best in the state. And Molly said, I grew up nearby, such a fun place to visit and great food. This is my reminder to order the cookies from the bakery for Christmas.
I'm looking, and if I scroll enough, oh, there it is. There's our first mention of Spotted Cow. You know, I don't know what the original Swiss settlers would say about that, but New Glarus is now pretty well equated with, you know, this amazing beer that you can only get in Wisconsin. But now you know, don't just go there for a beer run or a brewery tour. Go there for a whole bunch of authentic Swiss food and some of the places, the history, the culture as well. Last but not least, I've seen churches that have been converted into homes. I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like what's happening over in Sheboygan County, Sherita.
Yeah, so there's a new listing in Sheboygan, but it's not your average single family home. It's actually the former Cascade Elementary School being sold as a single family home. And the couple bought the school in 2016 to use for an electronics business. But when they sold the company, they decided to sell their house in Sheboygan and move into the school. The home is listed at 17,000 square foot with 5 bedrooms, 13 bathrooms, and is on 18 acres. And it's listed for $850,000. And we had some funny comments on that post. Betsy said, I could have a lot of cats and dogs in there. Linda said, there is such thing as too much open concept. And Jack said, too many bathrooms to clean. I agree.
Yeah, all of that is true. And look, this is not just to set the scene for folks here, because I know that in Madison, there's an old school that's been renovated into apartments. I was in it once, and it is adorable. All the old lockers are in there. One of the old gyms, you know, is one of the apartments. And they did a really cool job. This particular one is much more of a, I had to look it up. It's 60 years old. It was built in 1964. So it looks like your very typical, dare I say, cookie cutter elementary school. But, you know, again, if you could use 17,000 square feet, and I love that comment, too much open concept, this would be the thing for you. It does not appeal to me, but hey, you know, I wish somebody well if they end up buying it.
And hire an interior decorator. You're going to need it.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, it's at some point, like a lot of big old houses, they were eventually broken up into, you know, multifamily housing. And I don't see how you don't have that. I really don't see anybody buying this just to live in it. You know, it was a matter of convenience for this couple back then, because they the school had closed back in 2010. But Well, we'll see. We'll follow it. That's really all we can do. But now you all know about it if you want to look it up. Sherita Booker puts up these, plus a lot of news stories and much more across our social media sites. And we'll talk to Christina Lori in a bit here about what's new in our newsletter. Sherita, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. So former President Jimmy Carter has made it to age 100 today. It's his 100th birthday. Far and away the longest lived of the 45 men to serve as president. He remains under home hospice care. Celebrating his 100th birthday in the same small Georgia town, Plains, Georgia, where he was born on this day in 1924. The U.S. population has nearly tripled in his lifetime, although the town of Plains has pretty much stayed at the same population for a good part of his life. When he was born 100 years ago, life expectancy for American males was 58 years old. It's now 75. There's a lot that you could say about the inflation that helped drive him from office after being challenged by Ronald Reagan. There's a lot to be said about the Iran hostage crisis. The colorful moments of Carter's presidency, like his hard-drinking brother Billy, the Billy Beer, and more. He was clearly the nation's first rock and roll president for the music that he celebrated at the White House. And by the way, red states and blue states weren't a thing yet. The NBC map on election night 1976 actually had the Democrats in red and the Republicans in blue. That changed a few years later. Christina Lori, like I said, is coming up next here on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to Up North News Radio. And Christina Lori joins us now with the uplift, as she does each week at this time. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Good, good. Nice to have you along, as always. The bulk of Christina's work can be seen in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. There were a couple of stories last week that really caught my eye. I was so glad you put them in and wanted to talk about. So we're going to get to fun things, you know, what makes Wisconsin so fun, a little bit on passenger rail. But I know we wanted to start with a topic that's controversial, but I think also uplifting, in that there are people in any given community who are always going to stand and stick up for, you know, education and freedom and, you know, things like that. And our first story comes out of Menominee Falls, and it's about banned books and some people that didn't just, you know, roll over and take it. Tell us more about that.
Well, first, I just want to preface this by saying it's pretty ridiculous that this is viewed as controversial. I mean, we live totally in a state where anybody can walk in and buy a gun at a gun show, no background check required, yet you can't go into certain school districts and check out a book because it's not on their shelves because that book is banned. And the book in question is called Love Makes a Family. And it's just, it's a newer children's picture book. It's super cute. It shows all different types of families. All of them in the book, except for one, are the typical mom and dad. And then one is an LGBTQ couple, which is beautiful. It's involving everyone, including everyone. Yet this summer, the Menominee Falls School District banned that book after a big push from right wingers.
Yeah. And look, the book talks about, you know, how love makes things better. It does show, you know, illustrations of families, and it's, you know, it's about showing the positive side of all families that are out there. And so tell us more about the people who were handing out the books, because they are not district affiliated, they hasten to add.
Yes, this is the good part of the story. So, of course, leave it to women to step in and save the day. A group of local grandmas, three of them, their friends, they got a bunch of copies of these books, more than 250 of them, and passed them out to kids outside both Benjamin Franklin and Shady Lane Elementary Schools. And it's really important to note that, of course, because these are younger kids, these women distributed these books in front of their parents at pickup. So the parents are aware that they have these books. They weren't doing anything but sneaky or deceptive. They're giving out a free book to kids.
Hey, kid, you want a contraband book?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're at now.
I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but it just can't be lost on us that the same people that frequently call people who they say are big leftists and liberals snowflakes are the same people that are banning picture books, children's books. Last week was Banned Books Week. So I went to my favorite local bookstore. It's called Lake City Books. It's right kitty corner to the Capitol in downtown Madison near the Children's Museum. I highly recommend it to anyone. It has a great selection of both new and used books. And they had a great banned books display. I was just baffled by some of the titles that were on there. There was Captain Underpants, which, you know.
that's really trashy, profane stuff there, kids.
Yeah, that's difficult. Of course, To Kill a Mockingbird, my personal favorite book of all time. I reread it every single year. Every single year, I'm stunned by how relevant it still is and the different things that stick out in that book. And it's the one that was just most confusing to me was Malala's autobiography.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to pretend that things that happened 10 years ago just no longer happen now. Someone who won the Nobel Peace Prize, her book is banned. It's just baffling.
I mean, that just speaks volumes about the people doing it, doing the banning. And so I'm glad that you wanted to join me in shining a light on that.
Well, because we always like to keep things positive. So I hope the big takeaway is the majority of people in our state are against these bans, and they are actively working to make sure that these books get in the hands of kids who deserve to read them.
Good. Glad to hear that. I wanted to spend some time with a story that you had in last week's newsletter as well that talked about it's called the Midwest Regional Railroad Initiative. Not the catchiest name out there, but it is a reminder that there are still people working to add and expand passenger rail in the Midwest, including it here in Wisconsin, including parts of Wisconsin that don't have any service at all right now. And Christina, the work is worthwhile because, as we saw from the addition of the Borealis train through Wisconsin earlier this year, I mean, that thing is still selling out. Passenger rail is only going to grow here, obstacles from a decade ago notwithstanding.
This is actually personal for me because I've been having car problems. So I've been looking to try to not use my car as much as possible to save as many miles on it as I can. And I live in Madison, second biggest city in the state. You would think that there are more public transportation options to get around. They don't make it easy. And luckily, this will hopefully swoop in and help. There's this project that's going throughout the Midwest. It's been in the works since 1996 that Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, and then us here in Wisconsin have been working alongside the Federal Railroad Administration to build, once complete, it's going to be more than 3,000 miles of high-speed rails that's going to connect the Midwest from Ohio all the way to Nebraska, including Wisconsin, of course. And it would be one of the first high-speed passenger train systems in the country. Of course, with anything like this, it gets extraordinarily complicated when there are multiple states involved. And I can tell you, as someone from Illinois, when Illinois is involved, it becomes even more difficult because we just tend to make everything difficult. So this project is in the works. It's $7.7 billion. It just is taking a long time. But the good news here is that the Biden administration in particular has been instrumental in the infrastructure of building this.
They go figure. Joe Biden, a railroad advocate, huh?
Mr. Amtrak, yeah. Yes. So it's slowly chugging along, we could say. Mm-hmm. But you had an interesting point. The name is awful. When you said that, I just, my wheels started turning.
That's the working group name. Yeah. They, you know, obviously once it becomes a railroad or something, you know, some other private company, I'm sure it'll get a much catchier name. Like I really like the Borealis that Amtrak, you know, calls the new train.
I also love a good acronym. Like, you know, if we refer to it as Wisconsin's Awesome Railroad, it could just be the war.
Sure. We're going to spitball this. Yeah. We'll continue to workshop that. But again, the fact of the matter is that there continues to be a market for it. We've known this since, I mean, we're going way back now to my legislative days in 2008 and having regional transit authorities around the state that would make sure, again, that we have better ways to get from one Wisconsin city to another, because you can't pave your way through this kind of population growth. So again, we'll continue to follow. I follow personally the West Central Wisconsin Regional Rail Group. They have been meeting for probably a good 30 years here because they want to get that corridor served from Eau Claire to the Twin Cities. A lot of people talk about I-94 from Milwaukee to Chicago, and that is the busiest stretch of freeway in the state. But the stretch from Eau Claire to Hudson to get to the Twin Cities has at times, I can't say that it's the case right now, I don't know for sure, been the second busiest corridor. And yet there's nothing remotely close to passenger rail yet, and there should be.
And I know that we mentioned that it's going to take a long time. I just want to give people a general timetable. Right now, they're expecting that it's going to be finished by the year 2050. Two things about this. First, I'm glad to see that we're working towards something, even if the end date is far away, because a lot of times it seems like we bypass what could be for what we can have right now. We want
instant gratification. Yep.
Yeah. So it's nice to see us investing in our future. And also, I know 2050 sounds really far away, but the other day I wrote a post for our Facebook page saying that something that happened in 1992 was 22 years ago. And it's not that I'm bad at math. I genuinely thought it was 22 years ago. So if we think about it that way, that was 32 years ago. Yeah. This railroad will be completed within the next 32 years. So if you can remember the year 1992, you will, you know, it's going to be here before we know.
I know. It's one of those things that people do this on social media all the time now. And now I've done it with my own birth year, is to say that Pearl Harbor is now closer to the date I was born than today is to the date that I was born. And that's not in any way concerning to me. Final point we're going to bring up today is an article you posted about the most fun states in America. Because when you say funnest states, people look at you like you can't say the word funnest. So the most fun states in America, and Wisconsin ranks pretty well.
Who's saying funnest, Pat? Well,
that's people who have a sense of humor. I know. People with a sense of humor about these things. That's who. So we're fun.
I need to be more funner.
There you go. More funner. Perfect.
I'm in on it. Go. So Wisconsin, overall, we ranked in the top half. That's good. We're the 17th most fun state. But here are the areas that stuck out where they scored better than average. So we were third in golf courses and country clubs per capita. And what's also awesome about many of Wisconsin's wonderful golf courses is that many of the best ones are public. Yes. Everyone has opportunity to experience them. We were 11th for a variety of arts, entertainment, and recreation establishments. I'm always shocked by the number of Broadway level productions that come through Madison. Mm-hmm. I know they come through Milwaukee as well. Eau Claire has a great art scene. So does Green Bay. We can't take that stuff for granted. And again, you know, I feel like every time I need to mention, I'm originally from the Chicago area. Chicago gets everything. We get those high grade productions. They cost so much more to see them in Chicago for the same production that you can see here in Wisconsin. So don't take those for granted.
And a lot of times they may be traveling to the next largest market, which would be the Twin Cities. Well, then there's no reason why they can't make a stop in, you know, a Milwaukee or a Madison or, you know, even Wausau, Green Bay, things like that, which is, you know, the next thing on the list is that we rank 15th in terms of performing arts theaters. And I think, again, bringing it back here to the Chippewa Valley, the long-running effort to have downtown redevelopment that finally led to the Pablo Center at the Confluence. And 22 years ago, we'll pick on that number again, Christina. 22 years ago, I would have never dreamed that we would see a center as gorgeous as that, that now gets, you know, some big name acts and big time events in there. I feel very lucky to live in a state that values its local performing arts theaters.
Me too. And it's something I know that I often take for granted. So that's why I felt the need to say.
And then next on the list, casinos, which by the way, also have performing arts theaters and things. It's, not Broadway shows. It's kind of our own version of, you know, Branson, Missouri and things like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
we get shows coming through.
But also don't sleep on the food at casinos. They tend to have wonderful restaurants. I've never gambled anything in my life, but I enjoy going to a casino. It tends to have really good food.
Yeah.
Go figure. That brings us to also 17th on the list is restaurants per capita. Mm-hmm. We have no shortage of good food here in Wisconsin, food that you can't get anywhere else. I've learned quickly, don't order fried cheese curds outside Wisconsin because they do not know what they are doing. Stick with mozzarella sticks. Those are safe.
I'm surprised at the other one on the list that we ranked 20th in amusement parks per capita. And this is taking nothing away from the ones that are there, but I'm frankly surprised we rate that highly. I don't think of Wisconsin as having a lot of amusement parks.
So this definition is a little bit more expansive than you may think. There's been an increase in like trampoline parks. There's a slide park that opened outside of Milwaukee. Those kind of all lump into that. Also, of course, the Dells big plethora of parks. But also don't forget about the one up in Green Bay.
Bay Beach. I was just going to close with Bay Beach. It's a tradition and it's as fun as ever. So again, all these fun places that you can go right here in Wisconsin. Christina Laurie, thank you so much. As always, have a great day.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Back with our history lesson next here up north. From Hollywood. Oh, that was a terrible Ed McMahon impression. I apologize.
From Hollywood.
Hey, was that you?
That was me.
That was good.
Thank you.
Do that again.
From Hollywood, California, or downtown Waukesha, the WAUK brings you Pat Brightlow in the morning.
Okay, that'll work. It was on this day in 1962 that Johnny Carson took over as host of NBC's The Tonight Show. The theme there was written by Paul Anka and was heard every night at 10:30 for decades while Johnny was running the desk from beautiful downtown Burbank. Walt Disney World opened in Orlando on this day in 1971. 11 years later, just down the road, Epcot opened the experimental prototype community of Tomorrow, the great big golf ball.
I love Epcot. So it's my favorite park on earth.
Is it really?
Yes, I love it. There's something about that place that makes me feel young and happy and alive, and I love the idea that Walt Disney's like, I want to build a park, and granted, this was the late 60s or the 70s, but I want to involve science and modern thinking.
Yeah, I know. How quaint, huh?
Yeah.
What a notion that is.
Yeah.
There is a particular age range that does not respond as well to Epcot because they feel like they're stuck in class and like the world's longest social studies lesson. Okay, now we're going to go study this country. Can we go on a ride? No. You're going to learn something.
Meanwhile, they're like, all right, Grandma, take the kids back to the hotel. We're going to tour all the countries for drinks. So I think Epcot's the only
I've never place. Heard of that before.
Yeah,
never
Epcot's the only place that serves drinks, too.
Yeah, yep. Also on this day in 1962, the Beach Boys released their first album. And look, the Beach Boys would later be known as one of those great, you know, Americana rock and roll bands, very innovative with things like Pet Sounds. But man, when they first came out, listen to their very first single, the first of many about surfing. This one was just called Surfin'. And tell me you think this was going to become a legendary rock group.
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me now. Surf. Surf.
No.
Oh, God.
I don't know how they got famous.
Brian Wilson's like, hey, can I try something?
Yeah. Let Brian Go from there. On this day in 1908, the Ford Model T was offered for sale at a price of $825. All right, birthdays today. We hit the big one already, of course. Former President Jimmy Carter is 100 years old today. Actress Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music turns 89.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay, hoo-hoo. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay.
I mean, I could give you The Hills Are Alive with The Sound of Music, but who hasn't heard The Lonely Goat Herd, you know, for a while?
True.
Yeah, there you go.
It's called culture, people. It's called culture.
Yeah, it's culture. It's like being at Epcot. The late singer Donny Hathaway was born this day in 1945. Zach Galifianakis is 55 years old today. Captain Marvel Brie Larson is 35 years old today. Herb Feimster, otherwise known as Herb of Peaches and Herb, was born this day in 1942, making him 82 years old today. I thought Peaches and Herb was one duet, whatever. No, there have been seven different women filling the role of Peaches since 1966. It was with Linda Green, the third of the seven Peaches, that they had their big hits, Shake Your Groove Thing and... Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The disco skates. Ball spins a little slower as it becomes an... All couples dance.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, I didn't know he had so many peaches. I'm like, oh, okay. Because there's only two Ashford and Simpson. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. See, that's all you get. On this day in 1975 was the Thrilla in Manila as Muhammad Ali defeated Joe Frazier in their third and final boxing match. Frazier failed to win back his heavyweight title, conceding after the 14th round. I am not a big boxing fan by any stretch. I'm definitely not a fan of UFC and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's in part because I grew up in the 70s with Muhammad Ali, and I don't know that I'd ever see better boxing. And watching him and Joe Frazier, again, without even being a boxing fan, you're like, these are two fighters at the top of their game.
Can I give you a suggestion for a really great trip with Dr. Kreitlow?
Sure.
Louisville, Kentucky. Beautiful place, mm-hmm. Period. But go to the Muhammad Ali Center. It is an amazing experience. Oh, so good.
I would definitely do that. You know, on my way to or from a bourbon tour, if I'm going to do Kentucky.
Exactly. You know,
we're going to make it a full experience. The number one song this day in 1977 was by an electronic group called Miko. That's right. We've turned Star Wars into a disco song. Where's Bill Murray?
Yeah, exactly.
That crazy Star Wars. The Cantina Band theme, complete with R2-D2 singing along, was number one this day in 1977. With the baseball playoffs beginning today, we should tell you that the first game of the Modern World Series was played this day in 1903, the Pittsburgh Pirates against the Boston Americans. And the number one song this day in 1983 was a Jimmy Steinman classic sung by Bonnie Tyler. You're imagining all the mockery, aren't you?
Well, there is a version of this song where to the music, they just sing the exact description of this music video. Everything that happens, they sing it.
So Bonnie Tyler took this to number one, becoming the first singer from Wales to top the charts. Wasn't Tom Jones, believe it or not. And that is today's history lesson. We'll go over, it's the first of the month. There's so many months and weeks and days today, including International Coffee Day and Homemade Cookie Day and World Vegetarian Day that we'll cover throughout the remaining of...
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.